Hello, good morning, and you're very welcome to Countrywide if you're just joining us this morning. Laura Burke is a name that will be familiar to you. As head of the Environmental Protection Agency, every time there is a new set of figures on water quality, air pollution or greenhouse gases, Laura's is the voice that you will hear explaining what those numbers mean and making the case for greater ambition. But no more. She is moving on from the EPA later this month. So earlier on this week, she sat down with me to reflect on where Ireland is at and how she thinks the agency did on her watch.
I joined the agency just over 20 years ago, so a long time ago, and was appointed as Director General back in November 2011, so over 14 years ago now.
So you came in just at the point at which all these services were being cut to the bone and environment was very much a nice to have and not something that was seen as essential. Might that have been a low water mark for the EPA, do you think?
I think it was an incredible time of challenge. And when you look at it, Ireland in 2011 was still part of the IMF, EU IMF programme. The country's economy was under significant challenge. And I think as part of that, really what we would have seen at the time was that the environment wasn't seen to be connected to the economy or linked to the economy. And probably for an awful lot of people, if not most people, it was nearly environmental regulation was seen as potentially a luxury, that at some stage we should look at that when we sorted out our finances. And one of the key things for the agency was to highlight the link between environmental success and economic success.
Arguably then, over the subsequent 7-8 years, our ambition increased. There was a high water mark of environmental goals, from which I think it would be fair to say we're beginning to resile and we're beginning to step back now, not just nationally, but internationally as well.
The challenge now is, with everything that's going on in the world, how do we make sure that environmental issues stay relevant and are still seen as important and intricately linked to health and well-being and the economy? And also that we protect the integrity of science. Because I think one of the things that we've certainly seen in Ireland is that science and EPA data, science and evidence, has stayed central to decision making in a world where there's fake news, where there's an anti-science agenda at times. And I think Ireland has stayed in a good spot.
You must be disappointed then when the current minister with responsibility for climate came into office and said that he was absolutely going to make sure that Ireland reached its greenhouse gas emissions cuts target of 51% reduction by 2030. And then in the last couple of days, he said, no, we're not going to get there. We're not even going to get halfway there. And that hasn't even raised a ripple of discussion nationally.
Oh, I disagree. I think people do care, and people are still committed. I think there is so much else going on in the world, hence in the context of news where climate would have been right at the centre of the news for many years. It is more difficult to get those messages out. But I would fundamentally disagree. I think people still really care about taking action. The key is that we keep going with regard to climate action. Of course, it's disappointing that we would not hit, based on where we're at now, hit our Irish target or, really importantly, our EU target. But a lot has happened.
Can I ask you about one area of controversy, and that is using fines as part of the regulatory mechanisms that you have at your disposal? The EPA, as a matter of policy, I think, prefers to work with industry rather than to punish it where companies are polluting.
It's not about working with industry. We are the regulator of industry. So we are not side by side by industry. We are the regulator. And the key for us is compliance. And what we would say is there's a very wide range of enforcement tools that we use in order to ensure compliance. And even with regard to prosecutions, we've taken around 170 prosecutions since 2016. Some sectors, I would say, worse than others. Food and drink sector, intensive agriculture sector, waste sector. and urban wastewater discharge sector, areas where we would have taken significant prosecutions.
Why only prosecute those in the district court where the potential fines are really a pittance?
You may have what you would describe as a small fine. Linked to that has been multi-million euro investments by those sites in order to deliver on their environmental obligations. In addition, what I would say is we do take prosecutions to the DPP. Even over the last 3 years, we've had a custodial sentence for a waste, an operator.
But you could count on the fingers of one hand the number of times that you've done that.
But again, it's for the most serious offences that you go to the DPP.
Can I tell you what I've learned from my reporting is that the instances where the EPA has worked with industry to help them become compliant has done things like take groups of CEOs into a room and said, here you go, here's the facts, here's the science. Those people have reported back to me how transformative it was for their understanding of why environment was important. But others in the same industry have also said the transgressors, the persistent polluters, are never going to change their ways if they know that they're just going to be slapped on the wrist with a 3 or a 5,000 euro fine.
And hence, for those transgressors, that's when you go to the DPP or you do take other actions against those companies. All of the work we have to do has to be based on science, evidence and data. And that's what we use in order to make our decisions.
Speaking of which, that leads me on then to talking about what was became one of the more controversial episodes during your tenure. And that was the deletion of a tweet from your social media team about the desirability of everybody reducing their intake of red meat after there was pressure placed on you by the farming organisations. Do you want to tell me what happened there in the first instance?
We issued a tweet. The tone of that tweet was inappropriate. We took responsibility. We took it down. It wasn't because of pressure from one sector or another sector. The tone was not appropriate with regard to the agency's message. And what I would say in that is we got it wrong. We took responsibility. Would it be better to not communicate, which is the other option, and to not be broad in what we're trying to do, or on occasion make a mistake, take responsibility? And I said, that's absolutely what we did.
I can see why it is prudent to avoid unnecessary controversy and souring relations with important stakeholders. But at its core, whatever the tone, at its core, what was being said in that tweet was evidence-based and science-supported. And the controversy ended up becoming one, whatever your intentions were in removing the tweet, becoming one where the EPA appeared to be backing away from the science and caving to external pressure from lobby groups.
In the context of the agriculture sector, the EPA has been absolutely clear with the pressures, with the challenges, and we have not held back in any shape or form with regard to reporting on the challenges that the sector faces. So I think it would be very disingenuous to accuse the agency of backing away from pressure from a sector where it is one of the sectors that we have absolutely clearly on an ongoing basis highlighted the challenges facing it.
What has been the greatest success of the agency in your time?
We now have systems of monitoring and reporting on the environment, whether it's water quality or air quality, that are second to none across Europe. You have air quality monitoring has completely expanded. Our water quality monitoring, we have extensive experts in this area reporting and also producing that information, which is available online to anybody who's interested in it in an accessible form.
Fair enough, you can't solve a problem until you've measured it properly. But arguably, we also have data and statistics coming out of our ears now because of the work that the EPA has been doing. But what it is monitoring is a disimproving environmental state. And there would be those who would feel the EPA should be looking to sharpen its elbows at the table and hold a few more politicians and policymakers' feet to the flames?
Well, I think, first of all, it comes back to science, data and evidence. And when you look at areas, for example, air quality, there's improvements in air quality. So I think we need to be very careful about saying the environment has disimproved. with regard to what the role of the agency is, I think we have communicated, we've articulated now more than ever to all stakeholders, including the political stakeholders. And again, that is done on, based on science, data and evidence, and communicated at the highest level, but also communicating to everybody in the country with regard to that. And I would say we've been successful, very successful in
that. Really,
are
you confident that you're being heard at the highest levels and that environment isn't something that might end up being jettisoned?
I am absolutely satisfied that we've been heard, not only in the political system, but also in the industry system and right across the country. And again, I would give the examples of even things like the agri-food strategy. Now, kind of its central pillar is around sustainability. Tourism strategy, again, looking at environment as being a key asset for tourism, two huge sectors for the country. Is there a risk? Of course, there's always a risk. And that's why the importance of an agency such as the EPA in continuing to highlight the environment is so important to our economy, to our health and well-being, to everybody right across the country. And we continue to do it, and we need to continue to do that.
Laura Burke, outgoing director of the Environmental Protection Agency. You'll have heard many people on this programme over the years criticising the EPA, but I heard something this week that's important to introduce into the conversation for balance. If you want to imagine what an Ireland without the EPA would look like, you only have to look north of the border and to the state of Lough Neagh and listen to the Environment Minister there this week pointing out how badly they need an independent agency for the environment to solve that particular pollution problem, as they are the only part of Europe that doesn't have an EPA.